Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, joined by our very good friend, Greg Pickle. Greg, welcome back. It's great to have you.
Jim, it's good to be back. We've had a lot happen in the Penn State world since you and I last talked, from commitments to news about Lonnie White to Big Ten Media Days. We have a lot to get into here because it has been one of the busier stretches for the Nittany Lions that I can remember.
It definitely has. It's been crazy. We were talking before we chatted, and you actually used the expression, you have never seen anything like this before with the recruiting. It's been a crazy month, hasn't it? Just to give me that overview of what went on between June and July. It's been craziness.
It absolutely has. I mean, it's just been one of the more memorable runs I can remember. And the key to it, to me, is that they're not just landing guys who other pro, you know, we've had situations in the past, Jim, where Penn State targeted a guy, but maybe they weren't the leader until that school got a commit at the same position, and the kid maybe waited too long to commit, and then all of a sudden, I don't want to say Penn State was the fallback plan, but they found themselves in a much more advantageous position. And in this particular situation, for the most part, every one of these guys was top of the board at their position, or, you know, maybe 1A and 1B, and they both committed. So Penn State has just been on a just spectacular run here. You know, we can talk about Deni Dennis Sutton. Obviously, he's the crown of the jewel of the class so far, but you have Nicholas Singleton. You have so many other guys that are just standout football players and ones that Penn State really wanted. And, you know, I asked James Franklin to revisit his comment from last September when he said they weren't getting the job done in recruiting. I believe that was not long after Julian Fleming picked Ohio State. There were some other things that went against Penn State, and he basically said that they weren't getting the job done. And so, what's the difference? And he doesn't think there is one. And to his point, there's going to be years where, for whatever reason, whether it's where the kid plays his high school football, whether it's what you've been able to do with on-campus visits, whatever, you are going to get all of these guys in quick succession. And Penn State is doing it right now. They are going to be, you know, they're reaching a point, Jim, where the class is going to be almost full, and there's not even the senior tape to look at for maybe the diamond in the rough, so to speak. You know, there's none of that that's going to need to be required because they hit on so many of their top targets and best uncommitted guys and all of that. So really just an impressive stretch here, and one that Penn State fans are obviously excited about. The program is too, and with good reason.
Let's talk about Deni Dennis Sutton first. He's, I believe, so important on so many different levels that go beyond the fact that he's just a really good player. It's who they beat out in recruiting, the fact of the position he played. Tell us a little bit more about those extra things that make this such an important get for the team.
Yeah, I mean, well, anytime you can say that you had Alabama and Georgia on the table and both of those schools were legitimately interested and you won that recruitment, it says a lot, because maybe Alabama wasn't, you know, he visited there, so they hosted him. So obviously that was not just a hat on the table. Now, do I think Georgia was a school that was a true runner-up? Do I think it was Penn State number one and then Georgia and Alabama T2? No, I think Georgia was two and Alabama was three. Maybe that's because Alabama didn't push as hard. Maybe not. It's irrelevant. But, I mean, Georgia really pushed hard here, and Penn State was able to do a tremendous job of pushing for his commitment, despite the fact that obviously Georgia and all of its development and everything like that, and being in the SEC and all the things that sometimes can be used against Penn State, it didn't matter. So, you know, you not only get a five-star kid from your main recruiting area who by every account is going to be a standout at the next level, but you beat out a team that you might one day have to face if you get into the college football playoff, and he might be on your sideline and not there. So you really can't overstate how big of a get this is. Again, I know that he plays at McDonough, so it's a Penn State feeder school, right? I mean, I think it's fair to say that now. You have a number of guys, P.J. Mustipher, Devon Ellis, Curtis Jacobs, there's other who have gone to McDonough and went to Penn State, and that's a big part of it, but it wasn't the only part of it. It was not the only reason that denied Dennis Sutton picked Penn State. I wouldn't even say it's the biggest reason, but was it a factor? Sure. So, but you got to lock these guys up no matter what the deal is. I mean, there were a lot of factors in the case of a guy like Julian Fleming that were in Penn State's favor. They weren't able to get the job done there. They get it done here. And if you're at Penn State, you know, you look at it as these are the kind of recruitments we need to win if we one day want to make it to the college football playoff. If we want to more consistently compete with Ohio State and beat Ohio State and play for the Big Ten title game. So, yeah, it sounds a little hyperbolic and a little bit much, I think, to an extent, Jim. But at the same time, it's a five-star guy who's a top 15 player in the country. You just can't overlook that.
I think also there's some importance to the fact that it's a defensive player, it's a defensive end. When you look at the other highlights of this class, I think of people like Caden Saunders, Nicholas Singleton, Jerry Cross at tight end, Drew Aller at quarterback. Yeah. What do they all have in common? They're all on the offensive side of the ball. I think you needed a stud on the other side too, don't you?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. I mean, look, Penn State has just done a tremendous job on offense in this class. And you know what, Jim? With the way the game of football is played right now, I mean, Mike Yurcich is the perfect example. You better recruit the offensive side of the ball well, or you're going to be left behind. Because deny Dennis Sutton can have five sacks a game, but if the other team still is able to put up 30, 35 points and you can't, you know, it's not going to end well for you when it all is said and done. So having an elite defender to go with as a list of elite offensive guys, obviously it's a big deal. Obviously it's huge. Obviously it's the kind of thing that can be a program changer. But yeah, I mean, it's the best of both worlds. You want guys who can be impact players in the biggest moment on defense and guys who can help you put up huge numbers all day long on offense. And Penn State has not always had that in every class. They've not always had the stud defender. And then, you know, they've had the stud defender, but not the guys on offense, or vice versa. They've had the studs on offense, but maybe the defensive recruiting didn't go so well. And that impacted them down the road in a couple years when guys that were currently on the team when that class signed moved on and there wasn't a ton of depth to replace them. That's an issue that could pop up again this year. Let's not be, you know, let's not beat around the bush with it. They have a lot of new faces in a lot of key positions. And will those guys be able to step up and do what's needed to be done? We'll see. That's what we're going to be talking about once camp starts. But yeah, when it comes to this recruiting run, getting that high impact guy, and they have some other players who are very good defenders committed, but getting one like this just changes the way Brent Pry's part of this class will be viewed, whether it's fair or not.
Currently, this Penn State recruiting class is ranked second in the country, second only to Ohio State. Two things about that. They're not going to catch Ohio State, and they're also not going to finish second, are they?
No. I mean, I don't think so, just simply because of the fact that there's a lot of five-star guys who are out there ready to, you know, commit at some point, whether it be on signing day or whatever. And so that the rankings will jostle themselves a bit. I mean, it's where Penn State is at right now from an average star rating position point of view is really, really good. And this class, you know, this is where you got to kind of be careful because, yes, we all got hung up in class rankings and star rankings and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, whether you're top 10, top 5, top 15. I mean, you have to be, I think, top 15 almost every year, top 10 most years. But I don't know if there's a huge difference, Jim, between whether you're 3 or 10 or 4 or 9 or, you know, even 5 or 11. You know, I think you got to be in that ballpark. I think right now, average star rating-wise, Penn State, according to Rivals, is like 10-ish in the country. I can't really count and talk at the same time, but they're inside the top 10 overall. But the reason that when we talk about why they're not going to be, you know, in the top 2-3 spots total is that they have 22 guys. They'll end up with 24-25. The numbers will help, assuming they get who we think they're going to get. But Notre Dame has 19. They're going to make a run here at some point. LSU, same thing with 15. Oklahoma has 15. Alabama and Georgia only have 12. Those schools are not signing 12 guys, Jim, as you well know. You know, they're going to be adding to their list as well. And so when you just start doing the math of who's out there and things like that, yeah, obviously those schools are going to come up and bump Penn State out of the top 5, probably out of the top 2, certainly. But again, if you find yourself in the top 10, in the top 15, you got to be happy with where you're at. And if you can continue recruiting at that high level, and for the most part Penn State has, you're going to be okay for seasons to come.
And I think this team will end up top 10, and you've still got to be very happy with that. I want to shift gears with you, Greg. This past week, the big news across college football was Texas and Oklahoma looks like they are poised to head to the Southeast Conference. And this means all hell could break loose. Where do you see this ending up? Are we going to end up with a Big Ten conference with West Coast teams?
I don't think you can't rule it out. I mean, I think there's two things that come immediately to mind. First, this was always going to happen. It just so happens that it happened now. So that's my first thought. My second thought is that the Big Ten is just so slow and methodical with everything that it does that I don't think it's going to be a conference that races to do much quickly on this topic. But the third thing is, I think they hold a lot of the playing cards because of that tremendous BTN contract and the Fox money and everything else. You know, I was talking about it to somebody earlier, but if you want to find the ACC network or the Pac-12 network or Longhorn network, I mean, good luck. They're impossible to find on a college football Saturday. And so by just that nature alone, the Big Ten's in a tremendous spot already, and that's why its conference schools get so much more money already than some of these other places. So I think they hold a lot of the cards, but I don't think they'll be quick to act. We'll see. But, yeah, it's going to be – we're at some point going to have a couple of conferences, two, maybe three, and everyone's going to be in them, and that will be that. So it will certainly be fascinating to watch, Jim. I'm eager to see how it all plays out.
I have a theory, Greg, that teams like Texas and Oklahoma – you know, the initial reaction is you lead to Big 12, you lose out of your chance of winning conference championships and going to the playoffs. But, oh, there'll be 12-team playoffs now. You could go to the Southeast Conference, lose a couple games. My thinking, though, is they're not going to lose a couple games. Texas could end up losing several games and being a 7-5 team. And I don't care if you're in the best conference in the world, you're still not going to make that 12-team playoff. My early prediction is Texas may become the next Nebraska. What do you think?
Okay, we will hold you to that. Somebody cut that audio and we'll see. Yeah, I know it's fair. I mean, someone's going to, you know, someone is going to. It's just the way it works. You can build a super conference, but everybody can't be super. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And there's always going to be teams that are superior. And to your point, like with Nebraska or even Michigan is kind of a good example right now. I mean, at some point, you lose too many games against the best teams, and you find yourself in a recruiting rut, you find yourself in an identity crisis, and you don't know how to fix it. And that's kind of been Michigan's problem. Nebraska just hasn't recruited well enough, and the Scott Frost era hasn't worked so well. So, yeah, time will tell, but ultimately, it is going to be a messy few years until this all gets figured out.
Real quickly, tell our listeners where they could find your stuff, Greg.
You bet. BWI.rivals.com. It's Blue White Illustrated, and you can get the latest Penn State recruiting news there from Ryan Snyder and myself. We're always glad to be on the show, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Fantastic, Greg. And that is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in, and join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.